It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Welcome back to the Challenge USA 2 Wrap Up Podcast for the finale. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alistair. How are you?
That feels like more of an existential question that I won't get into. On an immediate micro level, I am okay. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing good. We got two new champions to welcome into the Challenge winner circle, so we got that to discuss.
Yeah, I don't know that we're qualified to be welcoming anyone anywhere, but they are being welcomed probably by the Challenge champions.
Hey, we've been doing this long enough. We've seen like half the winners at this point. So I think we're welcoming them in, as I can't speak.
Speaking of how elderly we are, I did go back to listen to what our predictions were. Ooh. Do you remember who you thought would win the season last week?
Oh, Les, for some reason, I thought we're like very proactive and made predictions come episode one, but no, we made predictions last week. I think I said Bananas and Michaela. No,
you said Bananas and Tori. I said Bananas and Michaela, but we both said, you know, Chris winning would be great. But no, we were wrong, which, you know, something's right in the world when we're wrong. Chris and Desi. Well earned.
Yeah. Well earned. The Desi winners arc didn't see that coming as much compared to Chris. Like, I mean, I guess just because Chris was just more involved with eliminations and things like that. But like the Desi storyline was more just about her, I guess, wanting to like prove to herself and like gain her self-worth back, which I guess triumphs in a victory. But it just didn't hit the same for me, at least, with her winning as with Chris winning.
You know, this is so irrelevant to begin 2 minutes into the finale podcast, but I'm going to take the swing. So I've been hosting is a generous word. I've been showing up once a week to coordinate a vote out of a Survivor Fantasy Football League. And it's run by Alex Chester and Akiva. And it is being taken so seriously that it is incredibly interesting. And like a bunch of people are in it. People who listen to this podcast, Mike Bloom, Rob in name only, people who don't listen to this podcast don't know why I'm showing up there every week to tell them they suck and go home. Anyway, a lot of people contribute like confessionals to people who are paying attention to this league, and men will be out here talking for 10 minutes. One of the few women in the league will always be like, oh my God, this is so long and uninteresting. I'm so sorry. I deleted my last one because it was 6 minutes. I'm trying to make these shorter. No man in the league has ever considered how long their confessionals are or cared at all. And so all of that is to say, like, it maybe hits harder for me that like Desi has had this sort of arc of self-doubt. And like, we've sat here, both of us, and said, like, she has no reason to doubt herself. Like, she controlled a lot of the strategy this season. She was sort of the linchpin for like a lot of the Secret Garden, which kudos to the Secret Garden. Like they're vindicated here. They could be Tori. They did be Tori. Good for them. All of them. And so like even in the double down, even having that as a metric, which we'll talk about the format of the final, but like having something where you have to bet on yourself and her being vindicated in that and getting the advantage. Like, I think that plays, While it was subtle over the season, it's so real in real life that I was just like, yes, Desi, I'm sure this won't cure any self-doubt. But if for one moment she was like, I deserve this and I belong here, then like a huge triumph for women everywhere.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Pro women. Love to see it.
That's not what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying that, but that was not the point of that.
No, I know. But I mean, like, I'm sure in her, like, on her story, of course, for her, like, the triumph is incredible. I'm just saying for the show, the way the show presented Desi's story, she just didn't feel like a main character this season. Like, they were just, it just felt like this was more the Michaela show. This felt that this was more the Tori show. It even felt this was more like Chanel and Cassie. Like, Desi felt much more like a secondary, third character on this season, as opposed to like Chris. I'm sorry, like, her storyline just didn't like live up to that. And look, I don't think they could fake it. Like, she wasn't in a lot of Illuminations. She didn't really come into power all that often. So it would have been obvious, I guess, if they forced her to be more of a focal point of the season. And Chris, obviously, like, he was in four Illuminations. He was the house target for a long time. So it made more sense for his kind of story to be more prominent. So it would have been that's why if Michaela would have won, like, her arc this season would have just been so magnificent, like, to see this kind of come through. And for Desi, just she just wasn't as much of a focal point this season.
And that's you know, really we're the winners because Vindication for us. We've said that every season. We definitely said it last week. We've said it before. There is no challenge winners at it. Right. The entire season can be about how you're supposed to win and then you lose. And like, that's the beauty of, you know, even in like a jury vote, and obviously like jury votes have not always gone to people like the way that the arc of the story is telling, but like in the challenge, you can control the entire game. You can have the best social game. You could never be an elimination. You could be Josh and like be totally irrelevant to somebody being targeted until the last second. And then it slips away from you or whatever. You can get to the final with all of your allies, exactly how you wanted to do it. Your biggest threat to win can get eliminated unceremoniously and pushed out of your way. Mm-hmm. And then you make one wrong decision and boom, it slips through your fingers and they're not re-editing it. Like, that's it. It might as well be live.
Like, right. No, the big, yeah, like you said, the big difference without like a jury vote, the show doesn't need to edit it to justify the jury's decision as to why someone wins. The reason why someone wins is because in this last episode, Desi and Chris did the best in this portion of the show. They won this challenge. They won this final. That's why they win. They don't have to show that Desi was the mastermind of the season and did all these different things. She won because she won the final. And that's all they really need to focus on. They don't need to give, you know, any Survivor winner edit or anything like that because there's no justification. The justification is they won the final. Boom. They won.
Yeah. One thing, because we did something new this season, you know, we're old, we've been around the block, but we're reinventing, we're out here doing new stuff. We both kept, you know, portions of our notes from the beginning in the doc for reference. You, your entire set of notes, me, just the original teams. I don't even know if I told you I was doing this, but it is interesting because there was like a lot of talk when the challenge started about the, how, like what a hot mess the red team was. And really, we get two members from the original red team and Chanel and Bananas, two members from the original green team and Michaela and Desi, and four from the team that was like the most formidable, best team, the blue team. So shout out to the very dominant blue team that put half of their team in the final from the original eight.
Yeah, very interesting. Kind of looking back, yeah, one of the three captains, obviously Desi was a captain. She made the final. Corey was one of the first picks. He made the final. Tori was the second pick. Yeah, it is interesting to see kind of the breakdown, how it all shook out by the teams. Yeah, four members of Team Blue making the final, with Chris being the last pick. He was the last guy taken. I think, second last, because Luis was the last, but he was in that last group. Pretty crazy.
Let's talk about Chris. Well, I guess we could wait. We could talk about what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Chris's arc, or you want to talk about the format of the final and actually go into it?
Let's do the format of the final, because this is like something I feel like we debate every time there's a final, which is obviously every season. Like, what is good, and like, are we on a good path towards the finals? And I feel like we've had some decent ones recently. Again, I think the one from 38, there was a lot of good to it, just stretched out over 100 hours. But this one, I'm torn, because I get what they were going for with like the stages, and they love naming categories now, as we'll talk about in season 39. They love naming things. So like, we had the four trials, or is that season 39? I don't remember now. I'm getting all these kind of mixed together. But we had like the four stages of the final all named to what they were doing, all feeding into the grand finale of the final, which they've done very different formation of similar styles as in the past, right? Where here it's like you gain the winner gets a 1 minute advantage. The loser gets a 1 minute disadvantage. They added the cool power up or double down. So you can get 2 for 2, 2 minute advantage or 2 minute disadvantage, all leading to the last thing. Other times they've done it where if you win, you get points. And then, or whoever has the most points at the end wins. So this isn't something new. All this to say, I don't think I like this structure of how it kind of played out, but I can't say I blame them because this is something that they've done in the past.
So taking it just to the part we're talking about, like not what the actual stages were, but the format of you've got four stages and the plus one, minus one, plus two, minus two, double down possibility leading into. So for anyone who didn't watch it, right? If you come in first in a station, you get 1 minute, 1 minute head start, which God help my notes, because it's like, that's really minus a minute, not plus a minute. Anyway, it's not about my notes, but you get a 1 minute head start. Or, and if you come in last place, 1 minute penalty, nooch if you're in second or third. And that gets times by two if you elect to use your one time double down that you don't have to use on any of the four stations. Then we didn't see any overnight portion. I was like, did I miss this? Was it edited out? Like, was there a challenge? Seemingly, they just went to sleep. And then they ran 10 miles with three checkpoints, two of which were optional. And if you did the checkpoints, you got an advantage. So given that this is Challenge CBS Season 2 and not Challenge 39, I understand the desire to have a very clean, relatively basic, still incredibly difficult athletically. Like, don't believe me. I'd be dead. Like, I understand, but like a very clean, this is how it's going to work. The challenges are not going to be that difficult. No one's going to be freezing on a mountain, unable to do Sudoku. Like, you basically can't time out of the checkpoint. Everything's going to like have a defined end. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get people to the end of the challenge. Mission accomplished. Check. Like, this was way better by a factor of 1,000 than the last season's final.
Right. That bar said, was in I, hell. Bar yeah. was in hell.
But, you know, congratulations for the improvement.
Sure.
I didn't mind this. I think there's a lot of mental gymnastics that we need to do here about, like, how much really is a minute? Like, something we've complained about here. I'll take this question one at a time. Something we've complained about here is that you have a full day of activities that amounts to absolutely nothing. And then it all comes down to sort of whatever the last challenge is. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this sort of plus one, minus one, plus two, minus two was enough to justify the events of the first day?
So in the positive,
did it matter?
So I think it did matter. Like I said, I think for someone like Corey, it did matter. Clearly his 5 minute disadvantage, like it was a lot to overcome. It would have been incredible to overcome to win. And it took other people failing for him to overcome to get the second. And I think, so first for the positives, I like that this part, like you said, wasn't that strenuous. The worst of it is when they do these things to gain, like you, like basically that you, like you could run like a marathon and then you gain like a 10 second head start in the next thing. At least here, none of the four stages on day one were that grueling. It wasn't that intense. It was just these little checkpoints, but like these are all things they have done, like baked into a final before, and they just like broke them out. So none of it was so over the top brutal that it didn't feel worth it to like even try to attempt it just to gain this little advantage. Like it was worth it to do it just to gain the minute or 2 minute boost that you can get in the more strenuous part of the 10 mile, three checkpoint really race. So that to me was a good positive that it wasn't like reverse where like they did these huge strenuous, like grueling, like, it knocks you all out tasks just to gain like a little bit of a boost in like the easier part. So I like that structure for a positive.
I agree. And I'll throw out another positive. I liked that we knew the impact, right? It's going to be 1 minute. It's going to be 2 minutes. Blah, blah, blah. We can see how it levels out. A lot of times we just hear it's going to be a big advantage that you'll want to get. And then, like you said, it's like, all right, you're starting 2 minutes ahead. Like, Well, did they get there 2 minutes ahead? You know, like, why is that the decision, or they're just starting sooner? You don't even know how many minutes. It was very trackable. I think they got lucky, quote unquote, that Corey ended up a total of 7 minutes behind Bananas. It's not even just five. Like, you know, so that really impacted him. A lot of these, if people were more equally matched, I guess, in these smaller checkpoints in stage one, it could have ended up with, it did end up with most people all starting at the same time. And really just Bananas had 1 minute on everybody else. Chanel was a little bit behind everybody else. And then Corey was extremely behind everyone.
Right. And so I think for a negative, I gave a positive, so now for a negative.
Please.
I think there should have been boosts and negatives for each spot. I think that, like, they needed to have more of an impact. I think it clearly should have been, if you finish first, you get like a 2 minute advantage, then a 1 minute, 1 minute advantage for second, a 1 minute disadvantage for third, and a 2 minute disadvantage for fourth. And then you can still do the double down. They needed to have more swings in the middle and like more of an impact for winning and losing, just to create more gaps. Like, they shouldn't have, like, there was eight people in the final. They're like with three groups by the time it was all said and done, maybe four. I think Corey, I guess, was in all his own group, but they should have had more staggering starts because of all the different things that they were doing. So they should have had more of an impact in each of like the winning and the losing factors of the time.
I think I also agree with that. I think having put in our 10,000 hours in challenge watching, podcasting, and analysis, I'm ready to sort of say, and I'm also willing to forget I said this and change it literally in the next podcast we do next week about the new season. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I enjoyed watching the pacing, the momentum of the second portion of the final more than the first, even though I thought the first would be more sort of like impactful. I was more interested in like, who's going to start first? Is Corey going to be able to make this up? Like, it was interesting to me in that sense, but like, I really prefer a final that is primarily a long race with multiple checkpoints that doesn't stop. Even if you have to go in tonight, you start with the exact same distance you came in with, and we continue like that. Like, I like the add of optional checkpoints, and you can get an advantage, or you could just keep running and not take the time. Like, that's interesting to me, but I really just want one continuous portion. And if you want to have a spelling test in one of the checkpoints, fine, or pause for elimination, fine. But I just think like, the first part, while clean and interesting with the time penalties, just sucks kind of the momentum of the moment of like that big final.
Totally. I think we've kind of said that for a while. It was like, it doesn't.
I'm coming out with a new opinion, okay, Brian?
No, I don't like, know that. No, because I think
we say that every week.
But because I think I get what the show wants to do, right? They want to try to create as much suspense for who's going to win for as long as possible, and doing these staggering things of different stages, different points, different times. It creates the illusion of, oh my God, who's going to win until the last 5 to 10 minutes of the episode. And if you did, you know, going back to what they did on like Rivals 2, where it was literally just one long race, it was over because, you know, Wes and CT were smoking it from the beginning, or even like CT and Amber were smoking it the whole way through, that there was no drama. And I always say, like, that's okay to do, because in some seasons, yes, you're going to have someone just absolutely smoke a final, but then we could just marvel in them absolutely smoking a final. And then also what could help is if you give second and third place some extra money as well, so that way there's some intrigue to who finishes second, third. But then when the seasons, when it is close finishes, then those are even more fun, because, oh my God, it's like a fight to the finish, and who's going to win? It's actually like really interesting. So I get why they do it, to try to create that suspense, but just like, you know, let it go. It's okay. Finals can be a blowout sometimes. It happens in all sports. You know, sometimes the Super Bowl is a really close game, and sometimes the game's over by the second quarter. You can still enjoy the game. It's just not going to be as close. It's not going to be as exciting. But then when the games are really close and exciting, it makes it even more fun. So they just need to like just trust the process and like let things play out, and they can have their exciting finishes no matter what.
And I think we're really moving sort of beyond the like, there are obvious layups in the final era. I mean, I'd welcome that sort of circling back as opposed to big block veteran alliances. But we've talked about this all the time. Like, gone are sort of the days where there's like an easy person you want to call out for an elimination or an obvious person you want on the final. Even as much as we criticize the women for keeping Tori in the house, it's like, you know, Tori's really good, but then you're still against Desi or you're still against Michaela. Or so, you know, like, it's not like there's one. Sometimes there's one overarching massive threat, but like, we're in an era where people were not afraid of bananas as a threat, and then they end up being correct. So I do think we can sort of like move back to assuming it won't be just a massive runaway. And to the extent that it is, then I agree. Like, how impressive is that? Totally agree with everything you're saying. Also, I had the same thing. Like, when Corey ends up coming in second, and we can give a quick rundown of how things actually evolved for people who weren't watching the episode. Mm-hmm. But Corey ends up making like an unbelievable come from behind push and comes in second when he really shouldn't have. And for him to have no money, we say this every season, like, second place deserves money. The free agents model of everyone should get money if you finish. Like, imagine how much more heartbreaking Michaela's medevac at the end would have been if like she would have gotten 10 grand for finishing and she has to go, like, you know, gets pulled anyway. Like, give us a reason to push to the end when someone like Corey knows he's never going to catch Chris.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. 1,000%. To give one other positive.
You couldn't agree more because you said it first, but right, I'm just echoing you.
That's why I couldn't agree more. For another positive.
I'm mirroring.
I think we give, deservedly so, the challenge a lot of crap. And really a lot of reality shows crap when they hide information about what's going to happen, what are the twists going to be, and they don't let the players know to make the decision. I love the fact that they were very clear as to what this final was going to be, especially with the first part of the stages where they get to choose where they're going to use their like double down on. Like, they laid out what the four trials were, where you could pick and choose, and then when they got there, they explained what the rules are for that stage, and then make them decide, all right, are you going to use your double down for this one, or are you going to save it? I am so appreciative that they finally just tell them the information and let them make their decisions.
Yeah, I didn't check for like voiceover or whatever, but yes, I'm consuming the show we're being shown. I agree. Crystal clear. The second team to arrive at the second checkpoint is going to be eliminated immediately. Yep. That's not going to be a surprise to you. Like, that was so, I actually forgot then. So I was still surprised they're eliminated, but like, that was, I agree. It's just, again, proof of what we've been saying. We're the real winners this whole time. Mm-hmm. Giving everybody appropriate information does not diminish enjoyment of the show. I do hope that that's going to be just kind of the future approach of the challenge, because, you know, we're going to talk about episode zero on a separate podcast coming soon of challenge season 39. But they gave us more information about the format, still not a lot of information, but more information on the format than we've gotten in a long time in advance of the season. So I would love for that to continue, both for the players and for the audience.
Yeah. Again, I couldn't agree more because I said it.
One other positive, probably my biggest positive the whole season, is I absolutely loved TJ's orange shirt. And that is like my dream aesthetic. And I want that. Like, if somebody could tell me, I mean, it's probably like $1,000 shirt, so I'm not going to buy $1,000 men's shirt, but I would like to wear that shirt. Just manifesting.
Well, maybe TJ will FaceTime you with all the information.
Well, bananas will grab the phone and that'll get awkward. Anyway, that's a spoiler alert for episode zero. Can I ask you, mentioned that the challenge loves to categorize. So the categories strength, smart, skill, and steel stomach, which I thought was going to be a pun and they were going to like have to like steal food or something. And it wasn't. It's just like stomach of steel. What was the season, and this could be rhetorical because I wouldn't know the answer if you asked me, when they like started classifying like this challenge is 30% like perseverance, like 10% luck, and like 60% running.
I think that was the World Championships.
Okay. So it's not the season in the
you don't remember because it's the season we blatantly forgot when this was started the challenge with Rob last time we talked to him.
Oh, wait till you see my quality of research for the preview for 39. Yeah, so like the one thing about the challenge is they could really, maybe it's too late, but they could have really developed some like great branding around like five principles when they want to like pull these things out. But like, we've never heard them use. I mean, I think skill has been used, but like kudos to RuPaul's Drag Race, who's always been doing charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Like, Challenge will come out and be like, everybody knows the four pillars of being a Challenge championship are the four S's that I just told you for the first time. And everyone nods like, yeah, that's totally real.
Yeah.
Are these the four? I don't think these are like the four pillars of a Challenge champion.
No, it's giving the Rob meme of since when? Like, this has never been like a thing. I mean, I guess you like said in some categories, like, sure, strength, smarts. I mean, I guess if you were like thinking, all right, if you can come up with like four key things to win a final, you'll be like, I guess you probably need like strength. You're probably going to need some smarts for a puzzle. You need to like eat stuff. And there's always some like carnival games involved. So sure, skills. Like, I think those are make sense, but like to categorize them, you know, and technically the five S's is certainly not something we've known before.
I would consider all of these skills, though.
Right.
Sure. These are the four skills you need to be a Challenge champion: strength, smart, steel stomach, and skills. It's like the dodgeball. Yeah. Dick and dive, dodge. Yep. Anyway, but like, fine. We love the structure. We love the organization. Again, massive improvement on season one.
Maybe there's like a new producer who was like OCD or something like that, and just needs to like bucket all these different categories like very cleanly and pocketly so they can map it out.
Well, I don't know. I think we speculated last season, though obviously I can't recall, if like this is a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if we did in the podcast. Like, did the Challenge CBS or USA on CBS benefit from what a bungle? Oh my God, I'm you. what a botch
curveball of me, Jesus.
catching strays. Yeah. So what a botch the final was, because like everybody was talking about it. Like, here's the thing. This was overall, like, if we weren't podcasters and so annoying, if we were just watching this, we'd be like, oh, good final, and we turn it off and go about our lives and like go to sleep and be like, great. No one's going to be like giving this press. This isn't like, almost you have more success, all of the producers, the Broadway show, you have more success with a flop of last season than you do with like a very passable final with two deserving winners.
Right. It's the no press is bad press, or bad press is no press. I don't know. But like, yeah, no one, there's no TMZs.
You want to apologize for being so offended 5 seconds ago?
There's going to be no TMZ article about Chris and Desi winning a very basic Challenge final. Like, there were, TMZ articles last season. It was pretty basic. But yeah, but there's no uproar. There was no thought after watching this episode, like the brief thought I had last time of like, should we like do this podcast live? Because I think people are like very angry and we need to like just go on the air and let people vent. But no one's going to be like super upset watching this final play out.
Let's run through the activities at camp final. Strength, I was pretty like, okay, this is going to be fine. Weighted boxes that we have to drag on sleds, what some people do in CrossFit, I'm sure. And like, okay, that's strength. That's the final. That makes sense to me. Nothing crazy. Smarts offended me to my core.
So you didn't like incorporating a spelling. Well, did they do a spelling? They did trivia this season, and I think they did some spelling in it. So I guess they really just want to do a fun little spelling bee mix in to this.
We've seen spelling in terms of like, you know, pseudo crossword puzzles that like, you know, they have to like get tiles and like arrange them. We've seen like unscrambling kind of thing. Fine. Decoding. Okay. If someone asks you to spell something in a trivia challenge, fine. But like, they basically heard you complaining about like, oh, you didn't like math equations. Well, how about I ask all five of you all eight of you to spell five words that frankly, I don't even know how to spell. Like, I'm with Corey. Who spells nowadays? Like, amen, Corey. But like, nothing was less compelling or relevant to me than watching adults spell five words in what is supposed to be the biggest athletic reality competition in the history of the world. This is not a puzzle. This is not even math. Like, I was offended.
At least it was more smart than the whatever the travesty of the puzzle that they did at the Hall Brawl. Like, at least there was like some thinking involved, not just like guessing a number and back and forth. So at least there was that. And there was a very funny Corey spelling with the elegance or whatever the whatever word he spelt wrong. That was like Italian.
Venegance instead of vengeance. I thought you were going to say smushing instead of schmoozing, which I appreciated also.
So did you, because I was actually very proud of myself in my notes. I spelled each word correctly on the first time typing it. I was very yeah. proud. I went 5 for 5.
I did not spell schmoozing correctly. I spelled it like Chris and I forgot the C, ironically, because all I do is schmooze. Mm. I also spelled vengeance wrong. I would spell it wrong to this day. Like, I did not know it was vengeance. And then ascending, I don't know, because I saw them on the board before I wrote it down. But I'm going to be honest. I might have spelled it wrong. I'm a terrible speller, and maybe that's why I resent this being part of the competition. But I'm bad at math, too. I would just rather a puzzle. Like, give us a tangram puzzle, even. Right. I think they were so afraid of the Sudoku issue from last season that they were like, yeah. we've got to just get something that, like, even if they all went 0 for 5, we could move on.
Absolutely. I think there was a lot of... There was definitely some scars from last season about how things played out. I think they wanted to make sure they started early, give them a lot of time during the day, and so for their production delays. They didn't want anything to go super long. They, you know, made sure it was nice weather. Maybe they would have like delayed it a day if it was bad weather and only people freezing out there. So I think there was a lot of like, we have to swing back the other way after the chaos from last season, for sure.
I have the Nickelback meme. Look at this graph stuck in my head. I'd rather them present a graph. Anyway, yeah, poor Corey, but like justice for Corey here. I respect it. Because then to me, it's like, well, what's the difference between skill and smart?
So is being smart a skill? I think that would be a skill, but I don't think having a skill is being smart. So I think,
but even the assessment, like the puzzle, like that puzzle being, you know, okay, so they basically had a Connect Four puzzle where they had to put puzzle pieces in a grid such that none of the black pieces or the white pieces were four in a row. That's smart.
Yeah, and what's interesting is like there was clearly more than one correct answer, because people were coming up with different boards of being right. Like, there wasn't just one correct thing. So that was interesting to see a puzzle with more than one answer.
I feel like skill to me is more what blew up in Olivia's face, literally, of like a slingshot to a target, or like, you know,
the axe throwing thing.
Yeah, I'm a hater. That's okay. The gloss on all of this is like, I thought it was very passable to good. But now that I'm here with them, freaking headset with a microphone on, like, now I've got some complaints.
Mm-hmm. What did you make of everyone's double down decisions? Obviously, Corey did it right off the bat. I think he was the only one to do it in the strength portion, and obviously lost because he incredibly lost every single stage. I mean, just incredible. And then we had a few people do the double down for spell over the smarts one. Desi and Chris did it there. For the skills one, Tori Bananas and Michaela. And then no one did it for the steel stomach portion.
Yeah, a few. So I think Chanel and Fessel did not use it at all. Is that correct?
They did not. Is that it? I think that's it. Yeah, just two.
So I found it interesting. One, I was very surprised that only Corey used it for strength. I thought that was the right move for him. Then obviously he flops. But like, I thought like of the four possibilities, that was going to be his best shot. Totally. I think using it for spelling is interesting because that's the only one where you could all really tie. So like, I don't know if it would have been who turns their board around first, but I thought that was also like a smart move if you're confident that you can get all five, even if somebody else does, like, you're putting yourself in a good position. What was fascinating to me, and what I need to hear you defend, I hope you brought your briefcase and your tie and your lawyer, is like, how could Bananas possibly think it was appropriate for him to use it on a puzzle?
It's a great question. I don't have a defense. I mean, he's always been the one to say, like, this is his weak point. You would think, because he's done so many finals and he clearly had like a good strategy of the eating portion, I thought he would do the eating portion. Like, this is where, of all the things you do in a final, I think having the experience gains you the most boost in this one, the eating thing, because you've done it before. You know what it's like. You know whatever trick you need to do to get you through it. So I would have thought this would be the spot that he would be able to do it, because I think he's also done this pretty well in the past anyway. So I thought he was going to do his double down here. Definitely not in any sort of the puzzling stuff.
I don't know if he got caught up in, like, Chris was on Survivor and he hasn't seen Survivor since they stopped doing gross eating, or like, because Fessel has notoriously been terrible, which TJ acknowledges. He's like, very good improvement from Fessel. Like, Fessel's been bad at the eating. And then you're just in a race between Chris, who is probably never eating anything close to this, and Corey. So, like, when he used it on the puzzle, I was like, really? When you still have eating? So that was my biggest, I think, reaction to the double downs.
I guess my other negative is, I feel like you should have had to use it. I think not using it shouldn't be allowed. You should have had to pick one of the four to do it. You shouldn't be able to opt out.
That's interesting. I didn't hate, I consider that. I would be fine if they enforced it. I'm kind of fine either way, because that's a risk in itself, right? Like, making the choice not to use it just keeps you at one and doesn't, like, you know, incentivize you to, like, take a shot. And in that case, maybe it's funny that Corey used it when everybody was at equal at zero before he kind of saw how things played out.
Right.
I like having the choice. I think it would have been maybe more effective if, as you were saying, if there were points for all four placements.
Yep.
Then the double down is modified such that you can't just be like safe when you use it, and then you have to use it. Like, maybe then that becomes more interesting. Like, I thought it was a good first attempt, and then there's like a lot of improvements and room to grow with this kind of concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like the idea of anytime you can incorporate decision making in a final, I'm all for it, rather than, you know, getting to the last stage of like choosing to do this, the checkpoints as well. Big fan of decision making in a final.
Love it. And to that end, like, I think the order of events with the steel stomach eating being the last one and everything again being open, and like people, TJ constantly reminding people of the standings between each checkpoint, I think it's good. We didn't see it pay off, but in theory, the steel stomach is the one that you can brute force who wants it the most, the easiest. Like, someone could be stronger and faster than you. You could just not be good at the puzzle or spelling, but anybody could just throw something in their mouth and eat it if they want to. So mm-hmm. I thought, like, wow, that puts real stakes on the eating thing, particularly for Corey. And I have to say, like, boo to Corey for at this portion for, like, not kind of, you know, he wants it so bad. He wants it. We see him with the picture of his kids. Like, he wants this so bad. And he still loses the, like, who wants it the most challenge of the eating mm-hmm. challenge.
It's, you know, it's funny. Like, we gave him, we both agree it was probably the smart move to do his double down in strength. But it really didn't matter when he did it, because it's unbelievable that he lost all four stages individually. Like, that's wild to lose all four of them. But. It's crazy.
I mean, threat level has to be reduced, right? Like, Chris calling out Corey is like the biggest threat. I mean, he does end up overcoming
right.
both Fessel and Bananas. So maybe his threat level is huge or should be huge.
I don't know. It's playing some type of long game, I guess, but it's not a great game.
Well, that's also what's interesting about certain final competitors, right? Like, in a certain final, Corey would be absolutely deadly. And in a certain final, Corey would be dead last in every single heat. And so, like,
we got both.
That, yeah, or you have both. But, like, it's like someone like Devitt, like, there are certain competitors who, like, have to catch everything exactly the right way. And then there are some more sort of, like, all around people who are maybe not the best in any one thing, but I would bet on them every time, just like on the odds, which is more mm-hmm. like Bananas, although we have to discuss what's going on with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two, outside of obviously the stories of the two winners, I think the two interesting, actually they all kind of were interesting, but two of the more interesting results were two of the vets with Bananas and Tori, for that matter. I mean, Tori redeems herself in the back end of the couple of the stages, but this was an odd showing from Tori. Like, she, I'm definitely, one thing that I definitely want to like ask her in the exit interview was like, she had such a fierce desire to like get the win, and she finally got it. And I wonder if that, like, if she lost her edge a little bit. She, like,
don't ask like, it like that, bro.
Not like that. I'll phrase it more.
Did you stop trying when you won? Are you satisfied with one shitty
like,
win?
No, but it's kind of true in the sense of, like, when things were going poorly here, she was more like just, like, joking it off, laughing it off. She, like, I know you, like, want to keep yourself in a good spirit, but this is what we saw with Bananas in the final with Nani, and like he's able to do that because he's done like 40,000 of these and he's had like 1,000 wins, so he is able to have more of a laissez-faire approach and it's more understandable. And it was just more interesting to see for Tori, who finally got her first win. It was great to see, and then she kind of it just seemed like she backed off a little bit. It didn't seem like she had that like, I need this like more than I need like air to breathe. Like, even for Corey, like Corey didn't do that well, but you could feel his passion of like wanting it so bad. I just didn't come across that way for Tori in this final.
Tori's coming off a very short turnaround and Bananas, right, from that last season. Is that correct in terms of the filming?
I feel like
someone said that. Like, no one had seen the season. They, like, went almost right away to film this.
I mean, sure. I imagine they're probably...
Unverified claims. Yeah, But I would be curious to ask her, like, certainly that's possible. I would be curious to ask her if, like, do the challenge proper vets look at these, you know, be it All Stars or in Tori's case, the CBS US versions, do they look at them through a different lens? Is there different prestige in winning a challenge proper season versus this type of season? Like, is that, you know, off the bat, on the heels of winning her first like challenge proper season, does she view does she take a more chill approach to a season like this? And then maybe she'll be like, no, it's just because I won and now I don't care.
No,
but I would be curious generally. Fair. I mean, it's both questions. Like, I am curious if they're sort of like, you know, when Fessel and Tori get eliminated, they're like, thanks for all your help this season, you know, good game. And, you know, maybe they get paid more to be on this up front by CBS as like limited vets returning. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, then in the station two, which we've already, I mean, sorry, in the next segment, which we mostly talked about, I mean, I think, again, the scale one, I preferred of the two checkpoints, the first checkpoint being five axe throwing, you know, if you've gone to a bar in Brooklyn, you have an edge, like five attempts at throwing an axe on a target just to make it stick into the target. Like, you didn't have to hit any certain amount of points or anything. And that cut you like 1.2 miles off the 10 mile run. The second checkpoint being you had to sort of by sight balance out a large scale. And it didn't have to be even, as shown by Chris. Like, I thought Chris didn't do it. And they were like, you've done it. It just had to sort of suspend. And then that cut you another mile and you could drive an ATV. I preferred, I think, the rock scale. That felt like more skill than just like throwing an arrow at I give up.
No, I agree. I mean, the rock scale was interesting. It was funny because the first time... I think Chris did it first, and when he like let go, the scales kind of moved a little bit, so I thought he was wrong, but then I saw Bananas do it and he was way wrong, and I got to see what actually being wrong looks like, because a couple other people, they were like perfectly balanced, and it seemed like Chris was like sort of balanced, but like not, I mean, wasn't like perfectly even, but I guess like it was just can't let one of them hit the ground, and that was like the baseline of completing it, so that was interesting.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. Like, I didn't quite understand. I thought Chris also got it wrong. But Desi nailed it. And Corey, to his credit, dead on. Good for them.
At first, I was like, why don't you just, like, put in, like, one rock on each? And that'd be, you know, balance it out. But then I realized, oh, you have to actually just, you have to use all the rocks. That makes more sense.
Very, maybe the most interesting thing that to come out of the season, that again, I'm sure I'll forget when I say Fessel is like an incredible threat in the final. Fessel pulls a Natalie and goes the wrong way and takes mm-hmm. the shortcut, even though his axe did not stick in the target, which incredible hubris from Fessel when he's like, I'm hitting it and it's just not staying in it. And well, that's what axe throwing is. It's not just hitting the wall. It's hitting it with the right axe. That would be me at the bar.
That is the whole thing. That's the beer pug of like, oh, is there any beer in those cups? And these cups are perfect.
Yeah. If you hear me screaming at a bar in Brooklyn that my axe is hitting the wall and just not going in, no, you didn't. Right. I very much relate to Fessel. But he takes the wrong turn. He shows up at the second checkpoint and TJ's like, sorry, you took an undeserved shortcut. So now you have to take an extra mile and go back and then come back. Then he ends up getting eliminated. We don't know if it's as a direct result of this, because who knows if he didn't take the shortcut, if he would have lost, you know, I can't really say. I'm sure he'll be saying that, but that's the case, that like a stupid technicality is once again the reason he didn't get to win the final. Mm-hmm. That said, should MTV tell him like, hey, you're going the wrong way? Or do you like this kind of blowing up in his face as a penalty?
I mean, it is very funny that this happens, so it's hard for me to say like I don't want this to happen, because it is very funny, but it is kind of silly. Like, just guide them where to run. Like, they're, you know, there's all these different signs. I think even like when Chris started going, he was like, is this the way? I think I heard him say like, am I supposed to go this way? Like, I mean, I guess if they ask, maybe you're allowed to tell them, and if they don't ask, you're like, just let them do what they're gonna do. So I don't know, it's a little, I do kind of feel bad, but also it is kind of funny.
Yeah, I think like I'd have, from what we saw, the edit of the show, Bozo move, like even Fessel kind of takes responsibility of like, I'm in a fog. I just went, whatever. It's probably the way he saw everybody else going because he missed it. If I was there, like, and it was poorly marked and like someone should be guiding these people, but I'm only annoyed because, again, it's going to be another like technicality that Fessel is going to be like, I am basically a challenge champion who just like has narrowly missed the win. I do think Chris would have beaten Fessel regardless.
Oh, I don't think he was going to win, but I think a case could be made he wasn't going to be last and been eliminated. But it didn't seem like he was kind of, like they he like it was funny because when he was they, you know, another good positive, I did like the Mario Kart map that they would pop up once in a while to kind of show everyone was. And at one point, after this, in the middle of the stage, like Fessel like passed Bananas, and I was like, how the is he that like that much faster than him? Like, how is that possible? So it didn't make a lot of then it clicked, like, oh, he just went the checkpoint route and he wasn't allowed. So it at least that checked out. I was like, what was happening?
Yeah, I agree. I had the same thought. I was ready to be like, wow, Fessel is like the best athlete in the history of the world. And then
yeah, or like, wow, Bananas really is old.
Yeah,
Bananas is old and slow. This is crazy.
So Tori, did you like that we didn't see the hopper, or what did you make of the fact that just kind of got like a strict elimination? You done?
Yeah, very interesting that we didn't get the hopper at all. You know, keep us guessing. You usually like, we think the format of the show comes back to play in the final. Look, I'm kind of okay that they didn't bring it back, because the hopper is kind of built on randomness, and ideally you kind of keep randomness out of a final, unless it was just like randomness that was gonna sort itself out like no matter what, and it was just determining like the order of something. So I'm kind of okay that the hopper didn't pop up here.
Right, like that is a way it could have popped up, is like you get a certain amount of ball, like it, like, yeah, the hopper could have determined the start order for day two. And instead of plus one, minus 1 minutes, it could have been like add a ball, take a ball away, like eligibility of the order you start, whatever. I'm sure I would have been complaining about that. I also like kind of, I mean, I like an elimination in the middle of the final. Don't get me wrong. I don't want them to get rid of that forever. But in terms of the momentum aspect, I like that it was just like, this is where you'll be. You'll lose if you get there last. You got there last. You done. There's a whiteboard. TJ's not even there. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, that was cool to me. And now, whoop, moving on to the next stage.
Yeah, TJ not even being there. It's just being like an away message of being like, yeah, go home. It's pretty brutal.
It's just lyrics to Closing Time.
And when they wrote it in like, you know, like text messages, like words like see you oh, like later with the eight or something. Really funny.
Prayer emoji, number two, letter C, letter U, NVR. Take care, hope to see you never.
And then like list, like do the initials of like each of their two or three best friends in the house.
Station three could sort of miss me, like whatever. For people who didn't watch, they had to stack cinder blocks and the order players were eliminated. I think it could have been interesting. It could have been a nice equalizer, its strength and its memory, but Chris just annihilates it. So it doesn't really matter.
The one thing I liked was because I was curious how they were going to do the weeks with the double elimination. And I like how they just put both the names on there. Because I was curious, like, were they going to make them remember, like, whose heat was first for an elimination? But they're like, nah, just put them both up there.
Similar to the Fessel fake overtaking bananas, am I to believe, and I'll believe it, that Corey passed bananas? So bananas finishes that checkpoint first, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
he finished the scale thing, but was wrong. I think Corey passed him in the ATV. Like, I think he got to the stage three before bananas there.
Oh, bananas didn't drive the ATV. Okay. Yeah. I've that's the part I forgot. I, like Fessel, forgot that I didn't get the shortcut. Okay. Cause I was like, Corey makes some comment that he's like, bananas doesn't have an ATV. And oh my God, I shouldn't be saying this. I should just move on. But I'm saying it because it's late. Like, I thought Corey overtook bananas when they were both on ATVs because Corey was like, well, bananas doesn't have an ATV. And I was like, is Corey saying he's more used to driving ATVs because he owns an ATV? Like, I was like, this is so crazy because it didn't happen. Anyway, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about bananas. Like, bananas comes in third out of three. Corey, it's Chris, then Corey, then Desi, then bananas. And bananas trots up and is like, I'm not as young as I used to be. Like, is this a fluke? Is this confirmation that bananas isn't the same threat he once was? What do we where does this put us in the bananas storyline overall?
So I think it's legacy. Twofold. First, it was very surprising to hear him kind of give himself like self-congratulations for just like making it to the final. It was like very much like a moral victory, which I would think for him at this point, like he's only doing this just to win. So just to hear him talk about like a moral victory was kind of surprising, but he did kind of show his prowess in the first part. Like he won, like he was the first one out to start day two. So he definitely wasn't like a layup or like an easy beat that people were talking about him being in a final. He won the first four trials of the day. So he was ahead of it. And, you know, he screwed up the puzzle. Just like he screwed up the puzzle or the puzzle and mental type thing. You know, he had like a big flame out with Nani in that final, screwing up a puzzle. Here he screwed up the measuring of the rocks, which was by far the most important part of this final. And he screwed that up massively. And it sunk him. Like if he finishes that correctly, I know this is obviously a big if, but if he does that correctly, who knows? Maybe he's pushing Chris. Maybe Chris feels the heat. Someone's closing in on him. Maybe that last stage doesn't go as well. I don't know. But, you know, since he screwed that up so badly, you know, he had no chance.
Yeah. Bananas did start the day first, just a minute ahead of Chris and everybody else. My impression. Now he caught some lucky breaks. Like he got the axe on the first try. I feel like Chris probably can outrun Bananas, was my general impression of this final. But yeah, maybe I think the edit of him being like his threat being so downplayed and then he comes in third is probably overblown when you expertly sort of lay out that it really fell apart for him in the scales and not having that advantage.
Ooh, expertly laid out. I like that adjective or adverb. An adverb because it ends in L-Y.
Just don't ask me to spell it. And then kudos to, first kudos to Chris, absolutely. And then kudos to Desi, again, who Desi be bananas. And then Chanel coming in second place. Kudos to Chanel. I've been tough on Chanel all season. She shows up in the final. She finishes it. She comes in second. She beats Michaela and Tori, who are extremely formidable opponents. Cannot take anything away from Chanel, her first season, making that final, coming in second. Michaela kind of unceremoniously medevaced, right? Like, not a lot of time spent on Michaela suffering. She just kind of goes down.
And that was kind of, to me, like the biggest low light of how this final was structured, because again, how much of a big presence Michaela was, especially in the back half of the season. Like, she was the star, I would say, of this, of maybe you could even say of the season in general. And just to see, like, the last scene of her just, you know, gassing out, like having medical issues and just being removed, and then no, like, last confessional with her or anything. It just, it, when the episode ended, I was like, wait, like, where's Michaela? Like, I guess she's just gone. Like, it didn't even seem like they were like fully pulling her. They were just like checking on her. And then all of a sudden we just never hear from her again. And that was a big bummer to like not get like the closing arc for Michaela. Because again, like, she, like, if she wins this final, this is like Michaela's season, like start to finish, like absolutely. And just to not have her story really end was felt unsatisfactory.
Yeah, I'll agree. I also, just taking a step back to sort of where Kayla's downfall, Michaela, who's Muffin? Michaela's downfall of, like, also at the scale, Desi tells us in the confessional that they've been running this final more or less together. They've been sort of work. We didn't see that really, but I think she says, like, we've been supporting each other and whatever. And they get to the scales together. But there's only one of two available scales, which I love. When I was at the axe, when I saw the axe throwing, I was like, I wish they only had like four stations for eight people. And it was more of a real, like, do I wait here versus go, which I think we've seen before, at least in reality television. The scales, they only had two. And Desi, kudos to Desi, steps up and just starts going. No discussion, no hesitation, doesn't risk it. It's just like, up, I'm here. And Michaela's like, I guess you're gonna go. Should there have been a better mechanism? Like, should it have been the first to arrive, or is it just like kill or be killed?
No, I love that. Yeah, someone make the decision. Like, this is an individual game. You're not doing this as pairs. You're not doing this as a team. If you get there at the same time, someone needs to just own it and, you know, figure it out amongst yourselves, or, you know, something else needs to happen. But I love that Desi was just like, no, I'm gonna do it. And Michaela made the choice of, I'm just going to run. She could have waited. Like, clearly, if she just waited and did the, and tried to replicate what Desi did, that would have been the right decision. And she made the executive decision of, like, I feel like I could just do this better by running rather than waiting. And it was wrong. I love the decision making that people had to make.
I thought at first when Michaela did that, it was the right decision, because I believe it was only a mile in the ATV. And if you run, I don't know, these people are athletes, like, but they've already run 8 miles. If they run, even if it's like a 15-minute mile, I have no idea. I don't run, but
I think probably quicker than that. But I guess at that point, maybe they are.
But I'm saying, even if I'm giving them like the biggest, it seemed to take not a small amount of time to do the scales. And you're going to be standing there while they reset the scales, not only until Desi does it, but then when they reset it. Production has to come in and whatever. And then if you get it wrong, that's catastrophic and you only get one chance and you don't know how hard it is. So, like, in all of that calculus, let me just run this mile and, like, I'll see you on the flip side.
Yep.
It ends up being the wrong decision because both Desi and Chanel successfully do the scale, pass her on the ATV. And I think what was underappreciated, at least by me, in considering the advantage at first, is, like, not only are you skipping a mile, but you're sitting for that period of time and not having to run. And I do think the extra mile caught up with her. I think it's also possible she still would have gassed out or come in third if her body was already at the brink, like it seemed to have been, but it definitely didn't help.
No, it definitely didn't help. But yeah, a huge advantage for this one. Almost almost too much, like the way it kind of played out. Like, is it, like, if you don't get this one right, like, you're just screwed. At least the other one, I mean, I guess theoretically you could have come back. Actually, you know, I mean, it seemed like both advantages were pretty big. So you know what? Actually, that's fine, because you know what? You should be able to do the checkpoints. But it did suck for Michaela that this kind of panned out the way it did.
I thought they did a really good job doing the calculus. Like, even in the axe one, it's like, all right, it's 1.2 miles early on. So I figured that's like maybe 8 to 12 minutes, depending on who you are, how you're running, whatever. And then it takes time to throw all five axes. Again, it's totally random chance. If you lose, you're screwed. So like, I thought they did just such a good job. Like, even if it ended up being such a big advantage, I think having not seen it, you'd arrive at that checkpoint and it would be reasonable to skip and reasonable to try. And I think that's like the perfect goal. It wasn't just everyone did try every checkpoint, but I don't, besides Michaela, because she got there when it was full, but I don't think it would have been insane for somebody to have just been like, forget it, I'm going to run. I'm an endurance person. I'm going for it.
Yep. Totally. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. Chris winning. I just want to say with Chris, what I'm so excited for in Chris's future, the challenge, if he keeps doing this, I don't know what his intentions are. I'm sure you'll ask him tomorrow in your interview. Is like, he has, you know, he keeps saying like, everyone thinks I'm an undeserving Survivor winner. And now like, I deserve it. I proved it myself. In a way, it went exactly as it went on Survivor. I think people are just more willing to appreciate a physically dominant challenge game, even if you don't have any alliances or social game. So what's so exciting to me about someone like Chris is he's got sort of like the ability of Jordan, not at the Jordan level, but like, throw me in five times, I'll send your best guys home, and then I'll win the challenge. I'll win the final. Like, an unbelievable physical force, but he's not so unlikable or so interested in remaining unlikable or without allies like Jordan. So I think he's more like on the West side of somebody who's unbelievably physical, but is social enough to maybe be redeemed and come through in like the social game aspect. I know we talked about whether you could kind of learn that, but I'm really just excited to see Chris come back, hopefully another season, and like ease into the social game more and really sort of flex those muscles on his third outing in a social game.
Yeah, I see no reason why when Chris comes back to another season, he's as much of an outcast as he was this season. He is seemingly pretty likable. Now he definitely won't be seen as, you know, a physical liability to a team or like a layup that people want to just toss in. And he's also, even though he's just one, he's not like such a huge physical threat that it's like, oh my God, we have to get Chris out. Like, or we, it's like, he's like the CT level or anything like that. So I think he's in a good spot where when he comes back, he should have like a good core of allies, especially if people from this season come back that, you know, that he can now work with on a later season. So I think Chris 3.0 might actually be able to play a more social strategic game. And it'll be, I mean, it's not crazy to say that he probably won't win that because it's hard to win again, but it would be pretty funny if he's like able to play more of the game he wants to play. And like, that's the season he doesn't win, considering he's able to win these two seasons. Like you said, that is much more of based off his physical ability.
Well, that's what's funny is like, maybe I'm overstating it and God forbid I call him the future of the challenge. But in a time where in the same season where a massive hole is left by Wes, I'm pointing to Chris and saying, now it's your time, because, and Chris has some similar home personal obligations that Wes has. So like, I don't know how much Chris wants to make this his life, but like, Chris has it. Chris has the ability to be a Jordan or a Wes or a CT. I think he would be insane. I don't know about the like strategy part that Wes has, but like with that, a lot of that comes with experience. So he's going to get a lot more experience. He got a huge lesson in like being on the bottom this season, which I think is an extremely helpful position to understand. And like, I think it would be a huge miss for the next people he's on a season with to not view him as a huge dominant physical threat, both in the eliminations and now in the final, which it's hard to be both. Like, I'm so high on Chris's chances after this final. Like, I'm probably too high on it. We'll probably never see him on the show again. But right. I'm like TJ. When's the last time you saw TJ so excited for somebody at the end of the final? Like, I feel how TJ felt.
Yeah, He was jazzed. He was super pumped for Chris. He loves the one that's like, you know, do the eliminations, do a lot of physical work, really prove himself as the underdog. TJ's guy for sure.
Well, it's also because TJ gets to see that game. TJ doesn't see like the house voting, the who got themselves off the block, who whatever. Like, I'm mixing metaphors of shows I don't even watch, but like, you know, TJ if TJ is the jury, Chris did all of his work in front of the jury as he did in Survivor.
Yep. He did all the Redemption Island challenges, the Edge of Extinction stuff. He did it all right in front of him.
And we talked about Desi, and I'm thrilled to see Desi. I'd love to see Desi make the jump to challenge proper. You hate Desi, so I guess that's not how you feel.
Correct. It is cool to see. I mean, this is, we got some, like, more Survivor winners. We had Sarah, obviously, USA won. Danny won, right? Yep. Danny won USA won. Yeah, so the Bulls, so Survivor winners are 4 for 4 on Challenge USA.
Yeah, Survivor's the best show on television. Big Brother sucks. Of course, Survivors are going to beat Big Brother and Amazing Racers in a physical and social challenge. Obviously,
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd like really come at me because you're such a Big Brother
fan. No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think the people, maybe not so much anymore, but I feel like the people they typically would cast for Survivor would, and that would do well and go on far in the game, would usually have to be more like physically strong people than like necessarily a Big Brother. So it would make sense that those people would translate more to the challenge.
Wow, Brian out here hating on the fact that Survivor doesn't cast as many actors. Wow. Mm-hmm. It used to be that Survivor casted hot people. Wow. Okay. All right. I promise you this would be 30 minutes and it's been over an hour, but I've had a good time.
Full discussion. Full discussion. USA 2 in the books.
A good time was had by all.
Oh, do you think we will see a season 3? Is this franchise here to stay?
Ask Tori. Do me a favor. I think Tori knows more. Like, I don't know what is the plan. I think let me put it back to you. Do you still think there's a chance that they're going to move to CBS full time and abandon the MTV show?
No, I think that was a fleeting thought at one moment.
Welcome back.
Yeah. I think the three franchises are maybe like, I think if I had to bet, I would say All Stars at this point is the one on the flimsiest ground to be coming back for another season. And I think MTV Challenge, CBS Challenge as like the two co-running franchises would be the more long-lasting ones.
Yeah, I don't see why they would not, like, I don't understand anything about television. So I don't understand why they get rid of All Stars, but they have, I don't know why you would just not put out footage that you have, but respect. I don't know why they would cancel this. Frankly, I don't know what the viewership has been like, although I think it's high because just like people watch whatever on CBS. But you still have all the feeder shows. They haven't been canceled. It's not like it's a real world road rule situation. So like, and now you've introduced veterans from MTV and that's been successful. So I don't know why you wouldn't keep with it, but I don't know anything.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Thank you to Weasel0219 Pants for the 5-star review. New listener, preach. Ooh,
love it.
And thanks to everyone for listening this season and hopefully staying with us as we immediately transition into coverage of Challenge season 39.
Yes, no rest for the wicked. Technically, 39 started a day before USA 2 even ended. So we are wrapping this up. And there will also be the episode 0 to talk about a lot of basically new faces in the challenge world, maybe like one-time faces that I'm sure people are like me, not going to remember who they are. So important discussions to be had there. But again, Challenger USA 2, congrats to Chris and Desi. You can subscribe to the,
well, wait, really the quick challenge plug. Feed.
Please, please plug.
Quick plug for click plug.
Quick plug.
Quick plug for the preview. First of all, we're about to record it, so it's going to be even more heinous and horrible than this. Again, you think we couldn't talk now? Ooh, as we enter, we're going to, it's the wee hours of Friday morning. So that's going to be great. Also, I've got a quiz for Brian, so I hope he didn't look that deep into one of the contestants in particular. And I think it's very accessible. If you're only listening to the Challenge USA, watching Challenge USA because you're Big Brother, Survivor, Amazing Race, Stan, this is the best time to get into the challenge proper because it's basically all new people. Not all, but almost all new people. And a lot of these people I'm realizing from like world champions, right? We, you and I, Brian, didn't watch their like underlying season and didn't even know like what shows they originated from. So we're going to be talking about all of that in the episode zero coverage. But even if you don't listen to that, I think this is the most accessible, like the most accessible the challenge has ever been.
I completely agree. And I think even if you, even for any of the background knowledge you need to know about these people, you're going to get it in episode zero. And I'm sure you're going to get even more so in episode one. So come episode two, you're going to be as caught up on these people as basically we are. So there is no long lasting history. There's no 2-decade long experience with any of these people. There's, at, for the most people, it's one season. So even if you wanted to like learn the history and you got really into it, you can like binge season 37 and 38 and you'd be caught up to the guests of 39.
I think that's why I got so excited about digging into these people is that it's, I mean, we've watched the show, but it's not insurmountable to catch up. So like, and it's also irrelevant and that's exciting. Like I'm very much looking forward to this.
Yes, absolutely. And you could catch it all by subscribing at robazwebsite.com/challengefeed. You can follow me on Twitter and TikTok at @ConeBrian_, and they can follow you.
It always sounds like you can follow me on Twitter at TikTok. You can follow me at @LashTweets. No NGOG this week because of my schedule. Not Akiva's fault. But we had 2 episodes in the last 2 weeks. So that's like more than we've had in 6 months. So like catch it there. anchor.fm/newgirloldguy. Hopefully we'll be able to find some time next week.
Love it. All right. That's it for Challenge USA 2. That's not it for us. Challenge 39 kicking off. Switch over to that one. And we'll be back all season long for Challenge 39. Until then, have a good one.